The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. Jesus left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that when he had been spoken to the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has become near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. As Jesus went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. Jesus called them, immediately left their boat and their father, and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the good news in the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I think over time, every family develops their own traditions, their own things that make them unique, their own things they can count on, things they can expect. Kind of like an unwritten language or dialogue. This is kind of how things function in our household. We know where the coffee cups go. We know whether we have ketchup on our eggs or not. And the list can go on and on. In my house, we developed a certain tradition. It's a tradition that seems to happen at my birthday, at Father's Day, and at Christmas. It is a gift that my daughters give me. Last week was my birthday, and I talked about that, so I won't bore you again. But for every gift-giving event, I get fishing hooks. Christmas, I get fishing hooks. My birthday, I get fishing hooks. Father's Day, you guessed it, fishing hooks. I can't remember the last time that I bought myself a fishing hook. It's interesting. To the untrained eye, these would just be normal fishing hooks. But I know how I come about these hooks. My lovely wife takes my children to the store. She lines them up in front of the big pegboard, filled with bright, numerous hooks. And Carmel and Olivia look up at the board. And for shopping with them for Mother's Day gifts and Christmas gifts and birthdays, I know how this goes. For half an hour, they'll stare at that board. Then they'll decide that this is the hook that Dad wants. My other daughter will decide this is the hook that Dad must have. And out of the thousands of choices, these are the two gifts that I get. This hook and this hook. It's hard to know why they pick these hooks. They're shiny. They're big. They're attractive. I don't know. Sometimes I get pink hooks. Sometimes I get yellow hooks. Sometimes I get huge hooks. And sometimes I get small hooks. But regardless, in their eyes, these are the hooks that will catch fish. That's how we buy hooks. We think like a fish. If I was a fish, would I want to eat that? In fact, this is good for hunting as well, too. If I was a deer, would I want to sleep there? If I was a duck, would I want to land there? Now, I can tell you, after quite a few years of hunting and fishing, I have a very low understanding of how ducks, geese, deer, and fish think. I spent more time sitting in bushes, driving down country roads, bobbing in my boat, than I really have enjoying deer, ducks, fish, geese, you name it. That's just kind of hard. Truth of the matter is, whether it's fishing or hunting, success is much harder to come by than failure. But nevertheless, we keep getting up early in the morning, we keep packing our tackle boxes, we keep going out in our trucks or cars for the hope of success. Because we've had success. We know the thrill of success. We know how good those fish taste. We know how much we like that deer sausage. We know how much we like that... Wait a minute. Geese aren't that good. Anyways. Regardless, there's something that motivates us. It's not the failure. If I were to add up how much it cost me to catch that fish, I'm much better off buying a fish. If I added up how much that deer meat cost, I'm much better off buying prime rib. No. There's something enjoyable about it. There's something about the conquest. There's something about the thrill of the hunt, the chase, the success. And that is what we hold on to. It is not the failure. But we know that it is the failure that makes the success so great. As the old saying goes, it was easy, everyone would do it. It's not easy. It takes planning. It takes effort. It takes energy. And a good bit of blessing or luck. Today, Jesus talks about making these new disciples fishers of men. And something I think about as a minister, as a person that wants to share the gospel, as a person like you, who want to make the best things of God available to others. I live like you. We want to inspire people's lives with the good news of the gospel. When our best friend tells us that their mother has cancer, we want to bring something forward that shares with them good news. When we see marriages in decline, we want to bring something forward that shares the good news. When we see children who have gone astray, we want to bring forward something that shares the good news. And we try. We pray for people. We love people. We share the knowledge of Christ. We share knowledge of a new life. But you know what? In so doing, we know failure. Who of us hasn't put ourselves out there in love, in faith, in prayer, or support, or all these things that we are told to do? That we come here on Sunday morning, you hear me saying, go and do this. We hear the gospel in the Bible saying, go and do this. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us saying, go and do this. And so we go and do it, and what do we experience? The failure. Frustration. Doubt. Maybe ridicule, maybe scorn, who knows? But the truth of the matter is, if we are living authentic Christian lives, if we're being honest with ourselves, we know failure. We might think that we have the right hooks. We have the right words to say. We have the right faith. We have the right knowledge. We have the right compassion, whatever it may be. We put our best stuff out there. But no one bites. So we try putting different stuff out there. No one bites. And so we go home empty-handed. Just like fishing. There's been days I've been on the water 12, 18 hours. I throw my whole tackle box into the lake. And I come home with nothing. I've bounced around in a half ton for 20 hours straight and seen nothing. Does it mean I'm doing anything wrong? I don't think so. I think what it means is just not working. The fish aren't hungry, the deer aren't moving, the birds aren't flying, the wind is wrong, the sun is wrong, the moon phase is wrong. Who knows? A million and one things can be wrong, but it doesn't mean that I'm wrong. It doesn't mean what I'm doing is wrong. And so I get up the next morning. I plan for the next week. I look forward to the next season. and I move forward, not to give up. See, here is really a downfall of our faith. We give up. We say, why bother? Why try? It's not working. I understand that. Because I'm like fishing or hunting or all these things. When we share faith, we're sharing something personal. We're sharing a part of us. It's like telling someone, I love you, and receiving nothing back in return. I know how that feels. Like you, I try and live a faithful life. I try and be with people, share with people, care for people, love people. And I know what it's like to have that not reciprocated. I know what it's like to have that fall flat. I know what it's like to sit and wonder, have I done something wrong? Have I said something wrong? Why haven't I connected? Why hasn't what's so important to me be not important to you? And so my instinct, and I think your instinct maybe as well, is to take that personally as a rejection about something fundamentally flawed with us. And that hurts. We hate rejection. We hate the feeling of failure. And so it's natural for us to not want to put ourselves out there anymore. To not share the private. To not share the personal. To keep things on a much more formal level. When someone tells you something's wrong, you say, I'm sorry to hear that. When someone says, you know, my mother is really sick, you say, I hope she gets better. When a friend tells you things aren't working in our relationship, you say, oh. But you know what? If we risk nothing of ourselves, then we gain nothing. If we never leave the safety of our house, if we never leave the safety of the shell that we put around ourselves in reaching out to people, well, then we're not really catching fish. We're not really sharing the gospel. We're not really accomplishing anything. We're looking out for ourselves and our well-being, but in the process, we aren't enjoying the great harvest. See, I've been fishing or hunting thousands of times. But ask me to recall for you trips or days or events, and I will recall to you the best days and trips and events. And they're far and few between. The times you catch your limit, the biggest fish, the nicest deer, you name it. Why? Because it doesn't happen that frequently. But every time you go back out there, every time you launch your boat into the lake, you get into your half pen at 4 a.m., you're hoping this day will be just like that previous day. And that's what keeps you going. The joy. The event. The memory. But often we focus on the rejection. We focus on the seemingly failure. We focus on those things that seem to hurt us most, and we forget about those great times in faith. Times in which we've walked with someone faithfully. Times in which someone has renewed their relationship with Christ. Times in which someone has grown in their knowledge of God. Times in which people have experienced miracles of healing and restoration and forgiveness. And yes, those times might be 1 in 1,000. But it doesn't mean that we're using the wrong words. It doesn't mean that we're using the wrong dates or the wrong lures or we're going to the wrong places. It just means, hey, the area is not ready. There's a parable in the Bible about this. Parable of the sower. It's a parable of God. God goes out, we go out, whatever it may be, and we sow these seeds. And some seeds land on good ground, and they bring up a 10,000-fold crop. Some land on sandy soil, some land on the rocks, some the birds eat up. But the point of the matter is, it's not the seeds that are wrong. It's not the seeds of faith or the seeds of the gospel or the seeds of salvation that we have that are somehow deficient, that are somehow defective. Sometimes it's the ground in which they hit. Sometimes the ground's not ready for them. Not enough moisture, hasn't been tilled, too many weeds, who knows? But it's our job to keep sowing the seeds, to keep sharing the love of God, to keep sharing the things that we have, to not get discouraged, to not find ourselves saying, forget it, I quit. And then when we experience those breakthroughs of faith, when we most closely experience the Holy Spirit, latch on to it, revel in it, claim it, enjoy it, share it, and remember it for those days of darkness. For days in which it seems that we aren't successful. For days in which it seems the world doesn't want to hear what we have to say. For days it seems that failure is inevitable. That's when you pull up those stories. Those stories of faith and love and hope. Those stories of the presence of God. Because in those stories is the way forward. In those stories is the light that conquers the darkness. In those stories we find an affirmation of ourselves that yes, we are on the right track. Yes, we are doing the right things. And yes, ultimately, we will be victorious. And that's the good news. See, we read today's gospel reading, Christ saying, I will make you fishers of men. And we all think, oh, what a great call of Jesus. But as a guy still in ministry for a little while, when I hear Jesus making that calling, I will make you a fisher of men, I hear Jesus saying to the disciples, you know what? You will experience failure. You will experience hunger. You will experience poverty. But you will also experience the bounty of God. And as we move through this next year, we will see how the disciples experience all these things. How on one hand they experience the abundance of God's love, and their boats overflow. And on the other hand, they experience ridicule, doubt, poverty, torture, and violence. The same is true for us. We will have those great catches, and we will have those horrible days. But ultimately, we are following someone beyond us. We are following something better than us, and we are following something that takes us to a new place. A direction that we want to share with others. That's the good news of today's gospel reading. The good news of who we are. That we are not judged by our failure. That we are not judged by our incompleteness. That we are not judged by our lack of eloquence. That we are not judged by our lack of knowledge. That we are not judged. But rather we are saved. We are able to fish. We are able to share. We are able to be renewed. And we are able to get up tomorrow morning and say, let's do it again. Because right around the corner might be the greatest catch of our lives. And that's hopeful. Amen.